I have a phrase that you're probably familiar with or you've heard before. Who knows the phrase, seeing is believing? Didn't even need to hear the whole thing. You know this phrase, and as I like to do, sometimes I like to get crowd participation. What are some of the things that you can think of where you have to see them to believe them? Things that you didn't believe it until you saw it. That someone is safe. So sometimes you have to see it with your eyes to believe that someone is safe. Yes, ooh, good. That's a good one.
A winning lottery ticket.
A winning lottery ticket, yeah. You might see the Powerball numbers, but until you look at that ticket,
yeah.
Seeing is believing. This is actually a common philosophy in our world. What else?
Changed
life. What do you mean by that?
Knowing that you've seen, and it could be even myself, having been in a place where I've been separated from God, knowing that there's a change. Maybe some people may notice that.
The proof is in the pudding. Or as I heard one time, a joke that said a person who had been married a long time and hadn't told their loved one that they loved them, and when asked about it, they said, well, I said it on my wedding day. If anything changes, I'll let you know. No, that's not what it is. Sometimes you actually have to do things along the way. I have a couple of things that I'll share later on about seeing is believing. But I actually want to flip the script on that phrase today in the other way. We're going to continue our Advent series on this journey to Christmas, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, just like we sang a few minutes ago. And if you couldn't be here with us last week, we explored Romans 12:12, one verse, which it gave us three things. It said, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We were focusing on hope because hope is a future-oriented word. The things that you hope for, whether it's your hope in Christ or other hopes, once you get there, you don't hope for it anymore because you already have it. So hope is a future-oriented process, and it leads nicely into flipping the script on that phrase this morning. Instead of seeing is believing, believing is seeing. And that's what we're going to look at for a few moments this morning. If you have a Bible with you or on your phone, you can pull it up. You can open up to Hebrews chapter 11. It's in the New Testament, towards the latter part of the New Testament. And this is the chapter that, if you've spent any time in a church, you've probably heard this chapter described as like the Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. I was talking with one of my neighbors who got to go out to Cooperstown to visit the Hall of Fame for baseball. And he said it was a really interesting experience to be out there. We're not talking about the Hall of Fame this morning. I want to read just the first verse from chapter 11. It says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In other words, believing is seeing. That if we want to be able to see the world as God sees it, the only way we see it is if we come to believe. Now you can see with your eyes, but we never really get to truly see the world as God sees it until we come to believe by faith. Faith is what allows you to see not only what God is actually doing in the world, because if we look around with our human eyes, we see all the pain and the misery and the destruction, and we wonder, what is God doing? But when we look with our eyes of faith, we start to see the slow, patient work of God. Often it's behind the scenes. We not only get to see what God is doing today, but we actually begin to see a vision vision of the future as God intends for us. That was the verse that we read from Isaiah 11. A vision of the future, a vision where shalom, or God's idea of bringing things back to the way he intended, actually takes root in all of creation. Can you imagine your cat and your dog always getting along? I don't know if there are people that actually have both. Usually you're one or the other. Can you believe in a future where a lion can not only lay down with a calf, but will eat straw, as it says in the scripture? It's almost hard for us to believe it, because we've never seen that before, except maybe in a few viral YouTube clips. Yes, a few things like that. For thousands of years, the Hebrew people believed that one day, the Messiah, the one who would save them, would come to earth to rescue them from their suffering and trials. They were absolutely certain that God would not fail them and that he would never forsake them. But it, once again, did not happen on their time frame. Often when God works in our lives as well, it's not on our time frame. He operates on his complete own schedule, and we don't always understand it or get it. And though the timing wasn't what they preferred, Jesus' birth was the fulfillment of their faith, even if some of them did not know it at the time. Often around Christmas, we read verses from the various books of the prophets. Isaiah is one of the common ones. And one of the verses that we often quote at this time of year is Isaiah 9:6, and it says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That word peace in Hebrew is shalom. Shalom. If you ever want to do an interesting Google search, search on the word shalom. There's a lot of interesting stuff. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Karen used a video from the Bible Project. The Bible Project, I think it's BibleProject.org, I believe. They actually have a pretty cool thing on shalom on their website if you want to dig in a little bit more into that idea. Prince of Peace, that's that important word for today. Shalom. Now, we're not just talking about an absence of conflict. We all want more peace in our lives, in our world, in our families. But peace is not just not fighting. It's also so much more. It's an ideal that expresses things as God intends them to be. Harmony, wholeness, completeness. Our kids in Kids Zone have even studied this word before. Jesus' birth inaugurated the restoration of peace on earth. That leads to point one for today. Faith is what unlocks God's peace. Through faith, you begin to see what you could not see before. When Jesus was here on earth, even his closest followers, his disciples, those 12 apostles, they didn't always get it either. In fact, it was right towards the end of his life when Jesus shared a final meal with them. And when they were fed, it says their eyes were open. And they, that word I've shared it before, their eyes were illuminated as if they could see Jesus for the very first time. It is faith that unlocks God's peace, and I could even put dot, 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 and so much more. It unlocks what is unseen, what is unknown, the things that seem impossible or improbable can be seen and known and experienced through faith. And this kind of sight will give you hope. When you lean into faith, it's an interesting thing. It opens you up in ways that you never thought were possible. You start to have a hope that can actually lift the burdens that weigh you down. It can open you to experience true peace in your life, your family, in your world. Who doesn't want more peace? Especially this month, when a lot of it is chaos, we all want more peace. Hebrews 12 reminds us of this: to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And then it goes on to say, consider him, that is Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Faith truly is what unlocks God's peace. Putting your faith in that one from Scripture, Jesus, is the first step towards experiencing and beginning to live a life of peace in our world. Now, it is hard at times. We know that. Much of our existence is lacking peace. There's a lot of dysfunction around us, and there are a few guarantees in life. See, I want to live a more peaceful life, but I also would like to know what the plan is. You know, we want to know the roadmap. God, why don't you just make it a little more clearer? It would be so much easier to trust you and to believe in you if I just knew what the plan was. If only I knew, believing in Jesus would be so much easier. That's what I think about. Maybe you've thought similar things before. I think that we think we want to see the map. I think we want to know what the next steps are, and that may be true. But the reality is that even if we did, I know this is true in my life, we often mess it up anyways. Even if you know how to get from here to there, you're going to end up doing this, and you're going to make mistakes along the way because there are no guarantees. And even if you could know everything that God had already planned for you and your life, you probably couldn't handle what he would say to you in the first place. That's your plan? Well, God, I wouldn't do it that way. May I make a suggestion? You want me to go where? You want me to talk to who? You want me to be with that person who annoys me so much? You want me to do what? If we knew all the plan, more importantly, there would be no need for faith. We would already know. The dictionary defines faith as having a belief and trust in someone or something. Someone or something. Now, there are things, obviously, that are easier to trust, easier to see. Like, I chose the crappiest chair over there.
You know that.
But we all, believe it or not, have faith in this chair. Sometimes my faith has been tested when I've sat in those low-capacity camping chairs before. But whether it's just a chair like this, how do you develop faith that when you sit down, you're not going to fall? We sit in different chairs. Maybe you sit in one for your work, or you sit in a mobile chair whenever you drive, or when you fly, or on your bike. We sit in all kinds of chairs all the time. And we usually don't think about it consciously. We just assume that it's going to hold me. It's going to keep me secure. Why? Because I've repeatedly done it over time. And we learn over time that chair is meant to support us. At least it's designed to do that. And our confidence grows each time we actually sit in the chair. We would say, I have more faith in that chair every time I sit and I don't fall. It's easier because we can actually see it. Because seeing is believing, as the world likes us to believe. It is so much harder, or how much harder is it then, to put your faith in a God you cannot feel and touch and see like this chair? For some people, that is a bridge too far. I want something more tangible. I want something I can see and touch and feel with my own hands. Yet for all who continue forward and take that step of faith, your faith actually will begin to grow the more you spend time with Jesus. And it unlocks a way of life that seems impossible to some. I know for me, before I truly had a saving knowledge of Jesus, that was my life. I knew it kind of in here a little bit, but we've said before, this distance between the head and the heart is the longest distance in the world. Through faith, we come to know in part what God is doing in the world. And when we know what God is doing in the world, we can take comfort, or a measure of comfort, in that. We begin to experience a taste of His peace here on earth as it already is in heaven. Because God is faithful to deliver on all He has said and promised. We read it over and over again in the Bible. That's sort of the second idea. Faith allows us to see God at work and abide or live in His peace. There's even an old hymn. It's the favorite of a lot of, I remember it was one of my grandmother's favorites. Abide in me. When you see God working faithfully in the world, you are better able to abide or live in and with God. To live into His ideal of peace, shalom, as He intends. Every time I think about this, I feel a burden lifted from my heart when I realize that God actually still is in control, whether I'm aware of it or not. That my burdens actually can be reduced. The words, Jesus says those words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." This lightens our load a lot, knowing that it doesn't all rest on our shoulders, because it rests on the one whom Isaiah calls Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't it a relief to know that the future of the world doesn't solely depend on you, or me, or anyone that seems like they're in control of things? Maybe double amen for that. It doesn't depend on you or me, even though God actually wants us as His partners in this, to bring about His peace on earth as it is in heaven. I know that faith is a hard sell for some of you. It may even be a bridge too far, where you can insert the phrase or idiom of your choice in there. Because we usually prefer that phrase, seeing is believing. Jesus actually knew that about us when He was here on earth. Many people needed to see in order to believe. Even some of His closest disciples. The one who gets the bad rap, what's his name or his nickname? Doubting Thomas. I've never liked that nickname. I prefer Thomas the Realist. I think Thomas was like many of us. He needed to see in order to confirm his belief. John 20:29 said, Jesus said, "Because you have seen me," He's speaking to Thomas, "you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Regardless of where you are at today, Jesus accepts actually both phrases. He allowed Thomas to put his hands on his wounds after he was resurrected, because he knew that that's what he needed to confirm his faith. But he also recognized that there are people who don't need that assurance. They have it. Eternally. They just have that belief. Regardless of where you are, God makes Himself known in a variety of ways. I don't know exactly how He will reveal Himself to you. I know how He's spoken to me, audibly one time, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, but He shows up in so many other ways. Romans 1:20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." I know for some of you who like to get out in nature, this really hits home for you. There's something about being out in the natural world that can really awaken our sense of how small we are and how amazing God is. Actually, seeing God's creation is one of those ways that it can strengthen our faith. I don't know his name, but a couple days on the radio, they were interviewing an astronaut who had come back from a time on the International Space Station. And this astronaut that they were interviewing said his time in space, you know, they go through years of training, they go through all the science, all the engineering, all of the rational stuff. But once he actually was there and he looked out at the vastness of space, he said, "How could I not believe that there is a God in charge of all this? It's too vast to comprehend." Before I started working at a church, I did a final vacation before my life would change. And it had always been a dream of mine to go here. This was the first time I ever saw the Grand Canyon. I know it's a little bit hard to see. Those of you that have been there, you know a little bit. There's something absolutely overwhelming about it. It's so overwhelming that the next day I had to get up. I got up at 4 a.m. just so I could see the sunrise because I wanted to see what it would look like when the sun rose on that Grand Canyon. I knew the Grand Canyon existed before I saw it. But there was something about being there. Seeing actually was believing, and believing was seeing in that moment. It was even better than what I hoped for, and no picture, like you just said, will ever do it justice until you can see with your own eyes. I actually found that my faith at that point in my life, my faith in God was strengthened by seeing the Grand Canyon. It didn't make sense to me at the time, but I felt so small, and yet I knew that I was cared for by God. Those rocks that were billions of years old, it was amazing. Faith unlocks so much in our lives. It allows us to live in hope and peace and joy, and we are given the ability to love beyond measure. All because of one step of faith. Today I would encourage you to ask God, however you talk to God, to open your eyes, to give you eyes to see. All you have to do is say, "God, reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself in the ways that I can hear and understand and see." I know that God will grant you peace. He will strengthen your faith, and he can renew your hope in ways that will bring you comfort and rest for your soul. However God chooses to reveal himself in the world today, whether it's through his amazing creation or whether it's through those small things that happen in your life, those daily reminders, I know with complete certainty that one day we will stand face to face with the Lord God Almighty of the universe. I'm sure it will overwhelm us in ways we can't even imagine. And the picture will never do it justice. I want to end by just asking us a question. Where is your faith today? Are you hoping to experience more of God's peace in your life? And if you say yes, then maybe that is God inviting you to take a step toward him. Faith. Whether you've known him for a long time or you've never quite come to know him, there is no better season to take a step or strengthen your faith than this present season. Christmas is a time when we remember that God kept all his promises and that through his son Jesus, we all have redemption and forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 1 says this, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." And so through him, the amen that is truly, or so let it be, is spoken by us to the glory of God. You can't say amen unless you know God. You can say the word, but you don't truly know what it is until you come to know Christ. I hope that we can believe God, that he is faithful, and he encourages us to step towards him. I'd like to pray for us this morning, and then we're going to sing a closing song. In the back of your bulletin, I put just a little question, a couple of questions. Sometimes they're good to think about as you go home and you're reflecting on this season. This is a good season to reflect on God and his ongoing work in your life. How is God speaking to you today in faith? And then a practical step, because I know a lot of us are also practical people. What step or steps do you need to take to move forward? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the gift of your Son, sending your Son Jesus here to earth. I thank you that when Jesus was born, it inaugurated your kingdom here on earth, ushering in a time where our hope was made sure. It began the redemption of this world, the restoration of peace. It allowed us to experience joy in a new way and to love without restraint. God, we thank you for that. I thank you that in this season of Christmas, we can be reminded of these once again. So you will continue your good work in this week. In this group that you have gathered together, draw us ever closer to you, O Lord, that we may experience more of your peace here on earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible calls us to be people of peace, so as you go out into the world in peace, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Church, have a wonderful week. I look